This is the problem. Take a pair of scales of the old-fashioned type.
Many of the good things of our world are not fairly and evenly spread around. Money is a good example, as are energy and medical care. One case where you really need good medical care is in dealing with the infectious disease called cholera. In this case, what kills you is a slight imbalance in the thousands of tons of water that cross your body's membranes each day. Yep, that's correct. Even though you might weigh less than a tenth of a ton, each day your body internally shifts thousands of tons of water. It shifts it from here to there and back again. It does this to keep your fluid and saltiness levels at just the right concentrations. Now, there are many different parts or compartments in your body, but let's look at only your red blood cells. Now, you've got about 5 litres of blood, and red blood cells make up roughly 2 of those litres. Water molecules jump into the red blood cell, and then out again, and then in again, and out again, and they do this very frequently. In fact, in just 1 second, a volume of water equal to about 100 times the volume of a red blood cell passes in and out of the membrane of that red blood cell. Over short periods of time, these are mostly the same water molecules jumping in and out over and over again. But after about 10 to 15 seconds, the red blood cells have done a complete loop from the heart, out into the arteries, and the end organ, say muscle, and then back into the veins, and into the heart again. In this case, the red blood cells would be dealing with water molecules all over your body. But, getting back to water balance, a total of about 17 million litres of water go in and out of your red blood cells each day. That's 17,000 tons of water. And that 17,000 tons of water is just for the 2 kilograms of red blood cells. The tonnage of water must be correspondingly higher for the remaining 70 to 80 kilograms of your body. With such a huge flow, you need only a slight interference with the flow in one direction to rapidly overhydrate or dehydrate you. As a personal example, I knew one woman who suffered from preeclampsia. Preeclampsia is a disease of pregnancy that has nothing to do with diarrhea, but lots to do with keeping too much water in the tissues. She got fuzzy and irrational in her thinking and was just about to have convulsions. The only treatment is delivery of the baby. After safely delivering her lovely baby in a bit of a hurry, she then urinated away 10 litres of water over the next 24 hours and then another 10 litres over the next 2 days. She had been waterlogged by 20 litres. But in cholera, the problem is water loss, and the loss can be enough to kill you. Cholera is the illness caused by the bacterium Vibrio cholerae. It is usually spread by drinking water contaminated with the bacterium. The typical infective dose in healthy adults is about 100 million bacteria. Incubation period is about 1.5 to 5 days. And it kills people by giving them such copious diarrhea that they dehydrate. The bacterium makes a toxin that poisons the cells lining the gut, that hollow 10-meter-long tube that begins at the mouth and finishes at the anus. The poisoned cells then exude into the hollow pipe of the gut huge quantities of a liquid rich in sodium, potassium, and bicarbonate. The amount of liquid secreted is too much for the lower gut to absorb, so it gets passed out as diarrhea. The victim dehydrates rapidly, thanks to their producing vast quantities of the infamous so-called rice water stools. Someone with cholera can easily lose 10 to 20 litres of fluid in a day. Typically, the death rate is about 50% in untreated cholera and 1% if treated. In India alone, between 1816 and 1917, nearly 30 million humans died from cholera. Most deaths from cholera occur on the first day. The disease will resolve in a few days or so, when healthy gut cells replace the poisoned gut cells. But in the 50% of cases of untreated cholera that lead to death, the victim died from dehydration before the poisoned cells could be replaced. So next time I'll talk about the treatment of this disease that still exists in refugee camps and poor countries around the globe, where even a little bit of medical help can go an awful long way.
What does it mean? Why is it so?